You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Merlin Miller, presidential candidate and political hopeful. Merlin, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, David. It's good to be with you.
Merlin, of course, many of the listeners know who you are and know what you have done and what you're planning on doing. But for the benefit of the listeners who don't, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and what you're in the process of doing?
Well, I'm basically a conservative American from mid-America, from Iowa, and very concerned with the direction our country's been taking over the last several decades and became politically involved here in recent years and in process right now forming a new political party and doing what we can to get active in taking our country back.
Sure, there's a lot of people who are wishing you the best of luck. Now, you have a military background, is that right?
I do. I was very fortunate to get a nomination to West Point from Iowa and was the first member of our family to get to go to college. So it opened up a world of opportunity for me, and I'm ever grateful.
After West Point, did you continue in the military, or was that it?
Well, no, I served 6 years of active duty and was able to command a couple of units, and then decided I just enjoyed it, but didn't want to make that as my long-term career. So I left the service and became an engineering manager for a short while before pursuing my ultimate career dream, which was motion picture producing.
Right, and you've actually made a couple of full-length feature films.
I participated for about 10 years in Hollywood doing films as an assistant producer, assistant director. No money, bad films, but great experience, and ultimately got to do two of my own, which you mentioned, and those were great experiences.
Recently, Merlin, I saw that you had gone to Mother Russia. Can you let the listeners know when that was, how long you were there, and what was the purpose of the visit?
Well, my wife and I actually traveled with a group that had been over there in the early 80s, and it was formed by a lady named Sharon Tennyson with the prospect of reaching out to the Russian people and learning truth on the ground and try to do what we can to restore a normalization of relationships and improve the relationship between Russia and America. We spent 17 days, traveled around four different regions, and just had an incredible experience meeting mostly entrepreneurs, a lot of the Russian people, some government reps and media reps, but mostly it was people to people.
Okay, and when was this?
We left the last day of May and came back in mid-June.
Something's going on this weekend here with your political party. Why don't you tell listeners about that?
Well, we actually formed the American Eagle Party early this year. We had met late last November and decided we needed to move forward and get active by forming a party. So this is actually going to be our first annual meeting coming up this Saturday. Primarily an organizational meeting of the key people to further our infrastructure and prepare for our convention, which we're now planning for mid-May. At that time, we want to put forward some candidacies, some congressional candidacies, which will include veterans, some people who are what we'd consider truthers, who are involved in doing everything they can to uncover the deceits that have gotten our country in such trouble. So people that are out there trying to do what they can to spread the truth. And of course, we're looking to put a national ticket together. Not sure yet how that's going to come. We want the best possible ticket we can put together with some name power, which I really don't provide. So we're looking to find a ticket combination that can really get the party to make some inroads and reach out to the American public.
And for the listeners again, what's the name of the party?
The American Eagle Party. And we do have a website, AmericanEagleParty.com. And our party's in its infancy, but we do have a great team. We're looking to grow our team and, of course, reach out and try to attract a lot of members and do what we can to get our country back.
Yeah, that would be great. You brought to my attention that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, just retired from that position. Is that right? And you know this fellow, don't you?
Yes, Marty's a classmate of mine, as is David Petraeus and Keith Alexander. You know, the class of 74 turned out to be a very interesting class. We had some great successes in the military and military-industrial complex, in corporate America, in business. Unfortunately, so many of my classmates have profited out of these wars as members of the military-industrial complex or still serving in the service. And Marty was our last one on active duty, and of course, he attained the rank of the highest officer in our armed forces as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I believe Marty did an incredible job walking a fine line, a political position with a lot of special interests trying to dictate the rules of the game. And I think Marty did what he could to keep from escalating these wars and to basically be a voice for sanity in our foreign policy.
I want to get into that in a little bit. Now, what was he like, Martin Dempsey, as a kid? How old were you when you were in West Point?
Well, I first started when I was 17, of course, turned 18 that first summer and graduated at 21. Marty, I guess, same age. And of course, we met there. I didn't know him well as a cadet. But as soon as we graduated, we both actually had volunteered to serve part of that summer with the Iowa National Guard. And I was from Iowa. Marty and then two others, four of us served that summer. And I got to know Marty then and kept in contact through class reunions. And he's a great guy. I really have great respect for Marty and his family.
He's a Jersey boy. It looks like he was born here March 14th, 1952. So was that the same year you were born?
I was July 52.
Now, you mentioned the special interests here that Marty was able to, in your opinion, avoid? Were there some prominent special interests that wanted to get the U.S. into war or remain in war?
Well, of course, you have the warmongering politicians that are always putting pressure, and Marty would have to address the Senate and Congressional Foreign Relations Committees, Armed Forces Committees, and some of the hawks like Senator McCain were always putting pressures to try to undermine the peace effort. And I believe the Israeli lobbies, particularly the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and other groups that are basically Israel-firsters, are using America as their sacrificial empire to achieve their ambitions in the Middle East, and ultimately for a banker-controlled New World Order. So they're dealing with some powerful forces, and somebody that's in a political position like Marty was very tough, but I think he walked that line well. We have others, of course, like the David Petraeuses, the Keith Alexanders, who clearly served the Zionist establishment, and I think they're good people, but I think they, in essence, sold their loyalties to the hand that feeds them, and that's unfortunate because as cadets, we studied to try to do right. We took our oath to the Constitution to put the interests of the American people first, and I don't know that that's happening with the current system of the military being so integrated with the corporate world.
Did you have any clue? I know you were young, Merlin, and hindsight's 20/20. But did you have any clue about perhaps the motivations or the future aspirations of Alexander, Petraeus, or Dempsey when you were with them?
No, as cadets, of course, we were just learning. You know, we were eager to tackle the world and do our duty. We were patriots and wanting to serve our country and whatever. And unfortunately, the power structure was such that Zionists essentially gained control of our government. They did this decades ago, but it wasn't apparent to me until, you know, maybe 10 years ago when I learned about the USS Liberty and how our foreign policy had, in essence, been hijacked by Zionist interests. And I think those that are actively serving the military today recognize that they have to serve that power structure in doing their duty. But to me, it's just a strange phenomenon that we aren't really doing our duty to our country. The duty is being misdefined, you know, by the wrong forces. And of course, country is being sacrificed to globalism. So in every way, we're getting away from the foundations of what we were taught at West Point. And I'm hopeful that honor will be the one key when you talk about the motto of West Point, duty, honor, country. That honor can hopefully unite us back behind the cause of doing right and really honor our oaths to the Constitution again. So it's just a difficult situation we're faced with right now. But I do believe a lot of military people are starting to wake up to how damaging the Israeli influence on our country's foreign policy has been. And if they don't suffer, and they in fact do materially benefit by these wars, that in time they're going to recognize that it is very damaging, if not to them, to their progeny.
And I think a lot of folks would agree that it's veterans in the military that are going to pull the country out of the mess that we're in. Do you agree with that?
I truly do. And in fact, we're looking to form a group called Veterans League of Honor, which would basically uphold those best ideals and not support the use of drones and torture and, you know, just all these things that we're doing that are so wrong and don't represent our traditions. And get back to putting America first, cleaning up our house here at home and not try to import American exceptionalism around the world and dictate how everybody else should live their lives. That's not the American way. And we've got to quit serving that role for these global interests.
You've written a book in the past, because I have it, but now you're writing another one. Why don't you tell listeners about that?
Well, the first one was when I was recruited in 2012, and it was a purely political book in terms of the things that I felt needed to be done to get our country back to its traditions and within the Constitution. This book is sort of a marriage of the necessary politics with my journey going down rabbit holes. It's somewhat autobiographical in that I'm taking the journey from coming from Iowa, going through West Point, through Hollywood, and then into the world of politics, basically uncovering deceits that have led us astray. So I'm trying to integrate the two, the political necessity, the need for a new political party, and the activism that's required of the American people now to get our country back. A very troubling journey for me, but the book is entitled Eagles Are Gathering. It's in draft form right now and hopefully can be published within the next month or two.
You mentioned Zionist interests. How significant are they in the damage that's been done to the United States over the past several decades? Are they like the main bad guy in all this?
Well, I believe so. You know, there's, of course, a lot of special interests that serve each other's interests. You know, the military-industrial complex, of course, grows with these wars. The Zionists, of course, want the wars, and especially against Israel's enemies. It's all designed in a very destructive way, particularly with our foreign policy. But I think the Zionist lobbies have a very damaging effect within America itself. Our mainstream media is totally owned and controlled by Zionist sympathizers. And, of course, that's very damaging. Many false flags, and, of course, much more investigation needs to be done on these false flags to reveal the truth of what's really behind them. And I certainly don't believe it's the Muslim world that's just decided to attack America's freedoms. I believe these wars have been engineered to pit the Christian and Muslim worlds against each other, totally divide and conquer in so many ways, which is ultimately destroying America. It's destroyed us internally, our finances, our budget. We're deeply in debt now. We're losing our rights and freedoms here within America. We've got an immigration invasion ongoing, with supposedly a war on terror going on. Just nothing makes sense anymore. We've got to get back to basics, clean house, get all of these corrupt politicians out of there. And again, I believe most of these politicians are controlled and somewhat owned as puppets for these special interest groups, especially the Zionist lobbies.
Merlin Miller, AmericanEagleParty.com, MerlinMiller.com. Merlin, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. I wish you the best of luck this weekend, and thank you for everything you're doing for the country. You're a great American, and looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Dave. Look forward to it.